Mr. Chairman, distinguished guests and conference, thank you very much for that welcome. And what a year it has been for us in Northern Ireland. We're a small team, none of the resources of the big boys, but with a great manager and a great team spirit, delivering success and achievements unimagined only a few short years ago. That's enough about the DUP. What about our fantastic Northern Ireland football team? And the Green and White Army, of course, who follow them. We're so proud, aren't we, of our sports stars who bring so much credit to Northern Ireland around the world. And what a year it has been for this great party of ours. The entire history of the DUP has been one of advance, but also one of struggle and adversity. From the earliest days of Dr. Paisley through the dark days of the Troubles to Peter Robinson leading us into this new era, we have had to fight, haven't we, for everything that we have achieved. It's been a history of defying the odds, of standing up for what we believe in, and of facing down those who oppose us. The fact that this party was even created at all was an achievement. The fact that it survived its first 25 years came as a big surprise to some. And that the fact that we have taken on and held the mantle of leadership in unionism and of Northern Ireland for well over a decade has defied our critics and our opponents. But what we have achieved in the face of such intense adversity these last 12 months is truly remarkable. And I want to take this opportunity to thank our party leader, Arlene Foster. The test of any leader's mettle is not how they perform when the sun is on their face. It is during the darkest of times that their true worth shines through. There's a lot of talk about fake news these days, but if anyone wants to see such a phenomenon in action, they could do worse than review how Arlene has been treated in 2017. Arlene, the truth is that these people do not come for you because you are weak, but because you are strong. Yeah. And though it has been testing and trying at times both for you and your family, you have come through this stronger and better than ever. Those who thought you could be browbeaten or harassed out of politics didn't reckon on the will and resolve of a strong unionist woman from County Fermanagh. So I say on behalf of every elected member and every member of this party, at a time when other political leaders are heading for the exit stage left, Arlene isn't going away. Conference, little over 12 months ago, there were those who thought they could exploit political events to their advantage, to resurrect old causes and to refight battles they had lost. They complained privately and publicly that the DUP were too strong in government, that we wouldn't do what they demanded and they wanted to force us out of power. And when the Republican leadership decreed that Martin McGuinness would have to resign his post as Deputy First Minister, their real goal was to rob the DUP of power and influence. Well, conference, that strategy has hit a few bumps along the way, hasn't it? Yeah. Little did our critics think that within 6 months, the very existence of the government of this United Kingdom would depend on the Democratic Unionist Party, and the Sinn Féin MPs and MLAs would be reduced to carping critics of everything and everyone from the sidelines. Today, it is this party that stands in the heart of government, not in Northern Ireland, but across the United Kingdom. Yeah. And I know you won't be, but others shouldn't be fooled when Sinn Féin talk about unfulfilled agreements. They go very quiet now when you ask them about the details. It's all a convenient smokescreen to conceal reality and hide the truth, a rewriting of history in real time. Make no mistake, this is a manufactured crisis to cover their own blushes. And we would do well not to miss the bigger picture. Sinn Féin brought down the institutions at Stormont not because republicanism was winning, but because the Assembly hadn't become the conveyor belt to a united Ireland that they promised their people. And even now, they are afraid to return to the Assembly to make their case and to fight their corner without the outcome first of key issues being pre-cooked in advance. They're the ones who are running from the political battlefield, pleading for others, even their political opponents, to help them out. That's not a sign of a strong movement, but of one that lacks the confidence of its convictions. And we all know they have plenty of convictions, don't we? In the early months of the year, they thought they could cultivate chaos, destabilisation, replace the DUP as Northern Ireland's largest party. And because of a concerted and relentless campaign, they very nearly did. But that's merely served as a wake-up call to the people of Northern Ireland. What Sinn Féin didn't reckon on was the resolve of the Ulster people, the determination of the unionist people to stand up to the threat that was presented to them. You underestimate unionism and you underestimate the DUP at your peril. As Providence would have it, an early opportunity for unionists to set the record straight arose at the polls. Today, as leader of the party at Westminster, I want to report on where things stand and what we have achieved. But first of all, let me say a word about the Westminster election. And I'm sure you'll all agree it was, as Simon said, a truly remarkable result. And I think from the reaction on the doors as we went around, most of us knew that things were going well, but I doubt any of us foresaw the scale of what was to come. So let us just reflect on and remember what was achieved. 292,000 votes, or 36% of all votes cast, the most this party or any party has achieved since 1985. 10 members of Parliament, a majority of all Northern Ireland MPs, the most in our history. 3 out of the 4 of the seats in Belfast, with South Belfast returning to unionist hands for the first time in well over a decade. Well done, Emma. Yeah. And well done to Paul for retaking South Antrim for the DUP. And for some of our other MPs, as Simon has again pointed out, it wasn't a case of counting their votes, but weighing them. With the Ulster Unionists and the SDLP losing all of their seats, the DUP is now no longer just Northern Ireland's largest party at Westminster. We are its only party in the House of Commons. There were landslide victories across the province, with DUP candidates recording enormous votes and huge majorities. And even in North Down, our Alex came within 1,200 votes of that constituency falling into DUP hands as well. But it's always good to have a few back as targets for the next time around. So how quickly things changed. After the March election, there were those in Sinn Féin who were calling for another Assembly election. I don't hear any talk of another Assembly election now, do you? Do you remember that was the mantra? Let's have another election. The election result in June wasn't just a record for the DUP, but it was a win for all of unionism. We put up the candidates, but it was the votes of the people that ensured that they were elected. And it's important to state that our victory is the people's victory. It's your victory. When we win, you win. I know that there are some in the Conservative Party who now regret the Prime Minister's decision to hold an early election, and I fully understand that. But it has helped transform the position of unionism here in Scotland and across the United Kingdom. It gave a tremendous boost to the Unionist people when we needed it, and it helped reset and reshape the political map. And I want to thank all of you in this hall today and to the wider party membership for all you did, not just in the Westminster election, but the Assembly election as well. It's no exaggeration to say that none of us would hold elected office if it was not for the work that you all do week in, week out, and during the election campaigns. Might be our names. It might be our names on the ballot paper, but the success is as much yours as it is ours. But for all of the success at the polls, what matters isn't just how many votes you win and how many seats you win, but what do you do with those votes and what do you do with those seats? Now, if I'm honest, I didn't believe that in 2017 we were heading for a hung parliament where the DUP would hold the balance of power. But looking back, I don't think it was an accident how things turned out. It's hard to imagine how the results could have done more to maximise our influence. A few more seats for the Conservatives, and they could and would have ploughed on alone. Had they won a fewer number of seats, even with our help, they couldn't have secured a majority. We entered the negotiations with the guiding star of doing what was right, not for the DUP, but for Northern Ireland in particular and the United Kingdom as a whole. And when the time came on the national stage, this party was not found wanting. For us, the choice between a Conservative Party led by Theresa May and a Labour Party led by Jeremy Corbyn was not a difficult one. Though that wasn't the decision that was before us to take. Though I have many good friends in the Labour Party, the prospect of a Corbyn government was not one that many of them, and certainly not any unionist, could have countenanced. The real issue was whether we would support the government on a vote-by-vote basis or whether we would enter into a more comprehensive agreement. And we always believed that it was in the national interest to provide an element of stability for the Brexit negotiations and for this Parliament. And the Conservative Party concluded the same thing. And though most of the attention has focused on the £1 billion of new money to Northern Ireland, what we achieved for people across the United Kingdom is arguably even more significant. And conference, let me remind you what we did achieve for all of the people living in Northern Ireland and throughout the United Kingdom, because given the seemingly selective memory of some of our detractors, it would be easy to forget. Because it was right for the United Kingdom as a whole, we insisted we would protect pensioners and there would be no change to the pensions triple lock or to the universal nature of the winter fuel allowance. And because our place in the world matters, we also ensured that the government agreed to the NATO commitment of spending 2% of GDP on the armed forces and to the military covenant. And because our farmers and rural communities matter so much, we secured farm support right through to the end of the Parliament. And through the Coordination Committee, we will continue to make sure that the government does the right thing, not just for Northern Ireland, but for the United Kingdom. That is why, though we won't always trumpet it from the rooftops, we will make sure that the economic benefits of the United Kingdom extend to all parts of the nation and to all people, regardless of their class or background. There are even some who say that if the DUP had written the Conservative Party's election manifesto, they wouldn't have needed our votes at all. We're available the next time around if you need us. Our interests in the negotiations were not in seats for ourselves at the cabinet table, but in jobs and investments for our people in Northern Ireland. That is why we put infrastructure investment right at the top of our priorities. And because in an ever-changing world, broadband is not just a luxury, but an economic necessity, we made sure Northern Ireland would lead not just the United Kingdom, but Europe in terms of ultra-fast broadband with a government investment of £150 million. We did this to ensure, once again, that every part of the province will benefit. Every part and everyone regardless of your political or religious background. And in the budget this week, there was more delivery for Northern Ireland, more good news and more investment across the board for all sections of our community, from money for infrastructure to the city deal, from the review of VAT and air passenger duty to more help for the victims. Our goal is not to push some narrow DUP agenda, but to deliver for the whole community in Northern Ireland. I was pleased that the Secretary of State was able to announce that the first allocations from the confidence and supply arrangement will be released shortly for our health and education services, and we look forward to the early release of the other aspects of that deal. Though I also say to the Secretary of State that while we understand, because of the talks process and the absence of ministers, things have been more difficult within a very short space of time, that will not be a tenable excuse for not taking action. Conference, none of us want to see direct rule introduced, but we are fast approaching the moment when it will be the lesser of two evils. I know there are many in other parties and across the United Kingdom. When I outline the list of achievements that we have managed to secure, who think that Northern Ireland got too good a deal from the government. But you know, when I see how critical our votes have been just in recent days, I begin to wonder, did we settle too easily? There are some who even say in the House of Commons that each DUP MP is now worth as much as a Cristiano Ronaldo or a Lionel Messi, £100 million each. That's a bit of an insult, isn't it? Should be Steve Davis and Kyle Lafferty in our view. Conference, there are still some who wonder if this arrangement at Westminster can last, but for the DUP, let me make it absolutely clear that we will honour our side of the bargain, and we expect the Conservative Party to do the same. And I'm delighted today that one of the senior members of the government team who works closely with us in Parliament has joined us at the conference this morning. And I want to put on record publicly my appreciation to Julian Smith MP, who is the government's chief whip. He, of course, recently succeeded Gavin Williamson, now Secretary of State for Defence. And I also want to record our appreciation to Gavin for the assistance he has given to us and to Northern Ireland, not just in the last 6 months, but long before it was fashionable or politically helpful for him to do so. 2017 was certainly an historic year for the DUP at Westminster, but we must always look to the future, and we will do so around five key objectives. First, we will deliver on and honour the agreement that we have entered into with the Conservative Party. As a party, we will be as good as our word. Over the last 5 months through the Coordination Committee at Westminster, we have worked through the issues and delivered on our side of the bargain. And despite what some predicted, the DUP hasn't been the threat to stability at Westminster. In fact, we have proven to be the stability at Westminster. Secondly, we will ensure that all the promises that were made by the Conservative Party are delivered in a timely manner. That means all of the allocations for the first 2 years being made available to Northern Ireland, regardless of devolution or not, in a manner consistent with the agreed timescale or in a manner satisfactory to us. We will make sure that the £1 billion of new money, the £500 million of increased spending flexibility, are invested in the Northern Ireland economy. Not money for the DUP, money for the investment in the future of public services in Northern Ireland. And isn't it ironic that some of the people who most object to hundreds of millions of pounds being spent on health, education, mental health services, and all the rest are the very same people who seem quite happy to send tens of billions of pounds to Brussels? Thirdly, we will work to ensure that the will of the British people on Brexit is delivered. Brexit will happen. We will do nothing that will undermine the integrity of the United Kingdom. Our votes in recent weeks, as I've said, have made the difference in ensuring the progress through Parliament of the great European Union withdrawal bill. But make no mistake, for us, the integrity of the United Kingdom is non-negotiable. If the EU or anyone else wants to insist on border checks on the island of Ireland or along the border, that's a matter for them. We're not insisting on them. And there will be no internal UK border in the IRC. The UK is a nation together. Fourthly, we will lay the groundwork for future delivery for Northern Ireland, which takes us right through to the next general election. Our deal with the Conservative Party is for the entire Parliament, and we have started the process of determining what will bring success, security and prosperity to the UK and Northern Ireland for the second half of the Parliament. And fifthly, we will embed our work at Westminster to ensure that unionism continues to play a key role even after this Parliament is over. Our newfound influence at Westminster cannot wither on the vine after this term of the Parliament. We must work to ensure that we build a network of relationships and contacts so that the Union, our precious Union, is strengthened and deepened. Conference, with our new position comes great responsibility. This is the chance of a lifetime and the opportunity of a generation for unionism. We want to use our influence wisely and in the national interest. We want to make sure that we do so for the benefit of everyone in Northern Ireland and that we leave a real and abiding legacy for future generations. And while today we celebrate what has been achieved, we need to be wary about complacency. There's a danger that we fall foul of a simple but flawed analysis, that our position at Westminster has never been stronger, our support in the country has never been greater, our political opponents have either been defeated or have walked off the pitch altogether. Some might say that we have never been in a better position, free and unfettered, to shape the future as we would wish. They might point to the unreasonableness of Sinn Féin and their present irrelevance in the absence of a functioning assembly. They might even say that Sinn Féin has nothing to show for the last 20 years except electoral gains that they cannot translate into power or influence. Such an analysis would suggest we sit back in our present situation. We do not stretch ourselves to make progress. Friends, that would be a mistake. Of course, there is no pressure on us to do a deal, and any agreement will have to be politically balanced. But it is in Northern Ireland's long-term interests to have a fully functioning devolved executive and assembly. That doesn't mean we rush into a deal that isn't right, and it doesn't mean that we need to do any kind of deal overnight, but our goal should be to see Stormont up and running once again. Now, that will inevitably mean taking difficult decisions, but this party has always shown that the deals we have made in the past, despite all the criticism and all the carping, have been to Northern Ireland's long-term advantage. And as the only meaningful unionist party left, we need to take decisions, not just for the next few months, but for the next few decades. It means we need to take decisions which can command the support, not just of our core DUP vote, but support right across unionism and right across Northern Ireland. Because of our privileged position and our unique position within unionism, it is also incumbent upon us to take a longer and broader view than ever before. We need to be alive to changes in demography and shifts in society, and to make sure we are able to meet the challenges that lie ahead. Gerry Adams' dream of a united Ireland by 2016 has gone, and soon so will he. Yeah. But after a turbulent and transformative 2017, we stand at another critical moment in our history. In 1985, we were powerless to stop the Anglo-Irish Agreement. In 1998, we were powerless to block the Belfast Agreement, but today our future lies in our hands. At the ballot box, we have never been stronger. At Westminster, we have never had more influence. Together, let us make sure we use this opportunity to create not just a legacy for Northern Ireland, but a legacy for unionism as well. We go forward with confidence in the knowledge that we have been tried and tested in recent months and years like never before. Stronger because of that adversity that we have faced, more determined than ever to succeed. We cannot predict what will happen in the next 12 months, but the future is ours to shape. And today, having endured all the attacks, we can enjoy our successes even more. So come Monday, the next phase of this party and this great country's great adventure will begin. And with your continued help and your support, we are more ready for it than ever before. Whether there is devolution or direct rule, whether we hold the balance of power at Westminster or lead the way at Stormont, our vision and our values will remain the same. So let us, conference, continue to serve the people in the spirit of those great Ulster men and women who have gone before us and given such service to our province. Let us stand strong for this beloved United Kingdom, the lovely province that we love, the people that we serve. And as we approach the 100th anniversary of Northern Ireland, let us do everything we can to make sure that the best is yet to come. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.